Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're rolling out the Wednesday edition. Yeah, believe it or not, it's already Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And if you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up this morning, so you can swing on over there and check that out when you get the opportunity. But you should stop by there randomly just to see what else is going to show up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man. The three E's.
Oh, all right. So I Dan, again, this is where you come in, because you have to explain these things to me. I know the Mets got off to a pretty good start this year, and there was a lot of talk of, they were going to, with their pitching staff, they were going to hang around. And, I know there were guys who had in the World Series after, a couple weeks of the season, we were going to get a New York World Series. And, then the Mets, as they tend to, hit their injury slide. Matt Harvey pretty much exploded. He now pitches for the Reds. A couple of their other issues popped up. Todd Frazier is hurt. And Cespedes is hurt. And They went for a little slide. Now their division has played really well, as both the Braves and the Phillies have kind of surprised everybody with how well they've done. And, the Nationals are hanging around there too, even though they were buried after getting off to a pretty slow start. Now, Dan, and I don't understand this, but I guess this is just the way baseball goes. The Mets are now supposed to wipe everybody out and rebuild, go back and start scratch, because they're 500, Dan, and that's the end of it. You have to go.
They should. San Francisco should, because they're 30-31. Tampa Bay, well, Toronto should. Baltimore, well, I mean, let's be honest, Baltimore might as well. Almost the entire AL Central should. And
right.
Then the Rangers. Except for Cleveland.
I was just kind of baffled by this logic, because, you look at the Mets, and, right off the top, I mean, it would be nice if the Mickey Mouse Network would update their draft card, considering they have Matt Harvey as their third starter. That's nice, guys. Way to keep up to date on what goes on in baseball. Obviously they got two guys at the top of their rotation that, you don't come by every day in baseball. I mean, Jacob deGrom and Noah Syndergaard are pretty much elite when it comes to starting pitchers. I mean, you can really put them up there, with anybody. But yet now the Mets are supposed to trash these guys and start all over because some idiot thinks it's a good idea and everybody else does it.
Well, it's the thing to do.
Yeah. The problem, of course, is, Dan, it doesn't always work. How long have the Reds been rebuilding?
I mean, next year will be 10 years, right?
that was, the Reds' plan as it was to go through and, you know, we're going to, you know, we're going to shuffle this around and we're going to get rid of some of these guys. And yeah, hey, great. It's worked out so well. And, you know, I know Todd Frazier was just activated, but, you know, you're looking at Jonas Cespedes is still on the DL. Syndergaard is on the DL. You know, Juan Lagares is done for the season because of a toe injury, which was kind of strange. You know, obviously David Wright has been on the DL for, I don't even know how many years. You know, Wilmer Flores is still on the DL. So Travis Dinald, who is going to have Tommy John surgery, he's finished. You know, and I mean, even some of their major setup guys, you know, they brought in AJ Ramos. He's got tendonitis. He's on the DL. And then Rafael Montero, who, you know, can give you some good work in the middle, had Tommy John. You know, I mean, instead of, I think, tearing it down and ripping it all up for them, they need to figure out how to keep their guys healthy.
Vitamins.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. And they did, too. They also had Anthony Ford, who was, you know, fantastic for the White Sox and the Brewers in a seventh role last year. You know, got him a free agent, which looked like a signing and got hurt. But, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it seems like they have other, you know, other things they can do here besides just up and throwing it all away, isn't there? Or is that what you have to do? You know, because it worked for the Cubs and the Astros, you have to go on and just do it now. You know, you just have to go, hey, okay, let's do it.
Did it really work for the Astros? I mean,
they won the World Champion.
Yeah, but how long did that take?
Yeah, but I mean, how long would it take the Cubs? 4 years, 5 years? I mean, the Astros 6 or 7. You know, is it all worth it in the end if you win one?
Yeah, if you win one, but I mean, they had to tear it down completely, and they weren't really a contending team since they lost the World Series in 2005 to the White Sox.
Yeah, but you know that's how they do it. I mean, the Braves did it. You know, the Phillies have done it. You know, they look like they're two teams that are apparently on the proper road. So I guess this is what you look at everybody has to do now. You know, I mean, I don't know if you can count the Pirates and the Royals as being a small market. They have to do it pretty much every so many years just because. But, it seems kind of ridiculous that this is automatic, especially in a place like New York, where while they are second fiddle to the Yankees, they should be able to compete a little better, shouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, but I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the injuries have been just brutal for them. And not to mention the fact that Matt Harvey completely tanked.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was just, you know, it kind of fit into that, you know, the stupidest thing I heard is now, you know, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's
well,
like, okay,
you know,
well, we've got to wipe it all out. Okay, great. Thanks.
Well, you know, here it goes. So the highest player being paid for this season is Jonas Cespedes. He's locked in through 2020. You know, David Wright, who's still considered on the payroll through 2020. Guess what, Big Jack? Those are the highest paid players on the Mets. So how do you tear down a team that doesn't even really have anything to honestly tear down? Or not that they don't have anything to tear down, but they don't really have like this super enormous payroll where they're being drained. You know, everybody aside from David Wright and Jonas Cespedes, oh, and Jay Bruce, how could I forget Jay Bruce, are all still arbitration. you know, I mean, right now they're paying, you know, Bautista the $5.45, the league minimum. But let's go to the outfield. You know, Jay Bruce is there. There, he's locked through 2020. Along with Jonas, who's going to spend at least, it seems like, a quarter to a half of the season on the DL. You know, that would be the biggest trade you can make, because at $29 million this year, next year, and $29.5 million in 2020, you know, who's going to really give up a whole lot for Jonas? I feel like he's on the tail end of his career. The highest paid pitcher right now is Jacob DeGrom, but that's because of arbitration. So he has arbitration next year in 2020. So technically the only guy that's under a contract is Jason Vargas. He's got $6 million this year, $8 million next year. Noah Syndergaard is only getting paid just under $3 million. He has arbitration next year in 20 and 21. You know, next year, Zach Wheeler is under his third year of arbitration. You know, obviously, whoever said that they should just tear it down and rebuild hasn't even taken a look at their financials. You know, I mean, the one consistency in their payroll, is Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah. Well, you know, and, like, the thing they forget to mention when you want to do all this stuff is, okay, well, you're going to rip it down. Besides DeGrom and Syndergaard, who else has any value in a trade? You know, where do you get the pieces to re-up with this? You know, if you're going to do this, you're not going to move Michael Conforto because he's 25 and he would be part of the rebuild, but he's one of the guys who has some value. You know, you wouldn't move a Brandon Nimmo because he's 25 as well. But then you start looking, I mean, who's taking Adrian Gonzalez? Who's taking a 36-year-old first baseman, Dan? What are you getting for him?
Well, then you're not going to get anything for him because he's at league minimum and he's unrestricted next year.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what are you getting for Todd Frazier? Unless a team needs a power bat, what's the market for Todd Frazier, a guy who hits 220, you know, and can hit you some homers every now and then? What's the market on him? You know, what did the White Sox get for him? I don't even remember. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's got getting paid $8 million this year and $9 million next year and open – you know, for the market on 2020. So,
you know, I mean, like you mentioned Cespedes and Bruce. You know, I mean, Bruce was an okay piece for the Indians last year, but, you know, he's off to a terrible start. He's hit 229 with the Mets. And, you know, Cespedes just seems to be injury prone. So, you know, what are you giving up for these guys that are on, you know, these kind of deals? I mean, would somebody maybe take Asdrubal Cabrera because he's off to a good start, 287 with 10 bombs? Yeah, you know, but on another team, he's probably going to be a utility guy, isn't he? They're not looking at him as an everyday player.
No, and what would you be giving up to get a guy who's going to be a free agent next year?
Right, you know, and I mean, that's the other thing. Obviously, the price comes down, because you're really just renting him for, you know, what, June, July, August, September, and then if you play in the postseason in October. So, you know, you're going to get, what, a 19-year-old possible prospect? Maybe if you're lucky you get two. You know, a team feels nice to you and goes, here, we'll give you these two 19-year-olds that might turn out to be something. Okay, great, thanks. So, you know, yeah, there needs to be a whole lot more thinking involved, you know, before you go out and rip these things down. I mean, obviously, you know, like another guy you mentioned was Jose Bautista. You know, he's playing much better with the Mets than he did with the Braves, but if you put him on the trade market, you know, you're going to get a bag of balls. You know, he's 37 years old and he's only with the Mets for this year. If you really want him, you know, or does he even add to a playoff team? You know, what kind of a bench contributor is Jose Bautista going to be? So, So, yeah, you know, they're really looking at the Mets rebuilding a team using two guys to get back everything you need. You know, I don't understand how they think to do it. You know, we're going to put DeGrom out there. We're going to put Syndergaard out there, and that rebuilds our franchise. Boys, you know, yeah, whatever's going on.
Not only that, I mean, you're going to give up on two guys, well, especially Syndergaard, who's, you know, in this first year of arbitration.
And he's 25.
You know, I mean, he could possibly be here for the rebuild and after.
Right. So, you know, yeah, you know, because, like, when you start looking at him, I mean, DeGrom is 30. You know, he's definitely a top pitcher in baseball. There's no doubt about that. You know, I mean, he's 4-0 in his 12 starts because they don't help him out much. But his ERA is 1.49. Syndergaard is 25. Zach Wheeler is only 28. And then Steven Matz is 27. You know, I think it would just be more important if they could find a way to keep these guys healthy than, you know, it would be anything else. I mean, I thought at first maybe bringing in a former pitching coach, you know, good old Mickey Callaway, who had all the experience with the Indians, and, you know, they were a little innovative with, you know, the way they used Andrew Miller, and, you know, the pitching staff improved under him. I thought, hey, maybe they got a good hire here. But, man, that he hasn't changed the culture at all with the Mets and their injury history.
No, and it definitely didn't get better. And, you know, part of a rebuild is kind of tearing down your payroll. But Big Jack, their payroll this year is going to be $156 million. Next year,
what do they have to tear down?
Well, you know, next year they lose two players, and their payroll is down to 92.5.
So, do you have a what's Familia's salary while you're looking at all that? What teammate?
Drew is making 7.925 mil, and he's a free agent after this season.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, because I know he's had his ups and downs, but overall he's a pretty solid closer. You know, but yeah, it gets so kind of weird when you know you. You know, you listen to these guys, and I mean, it just this, you know, prospects aren't the answer for everything. You know, and it's just kind of like, well, this is what you do. You know, you rip your team up, and you go get all these guys, and these guys solve your problems. No, they don't. You know, in some cases they will. I mean, you know, how do we know, you know, Dan, I know it's exciting. We've had some fun looking at what the White Sox are doing. But, you know, right now they're still in limbo. We don't know how that's going to turn out for them. You know, I mean, there's a long way to go between, you know, Class A and getting to the majors. You know, but, you know, even like today, I mean, you know, the Mets had an early game. They got beat 1-0 by a guy that, you know, I know you think is a really good, solid starting pitcher. Dylan Bundy pitched really well against them. He went 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, you know, no runs. He did walk 3 and strike out 5. You know, and then the Baltimore bullpen came in and did their job. Brad Blackrock picked up his 10th save. But, you know, to be fair, you know, they faced Zach Wheeler, who also went 7 innings. 3 hits, no runs, walked, run, struck out 5. It was Familia who came in and gave up 2 hits and the run in his inning that ended up costing the Mets the game. But, you know, so, I mean, okay, you lose a 1-0 game, that's tough. I know they've lost 6 in a row, I think it is now, and part of the person's methodology behind this was, well, they've been shut out twice in this 6-game losing streak. Yeah, well, that kind of happens depending on who you're playing and, you know, what pitchers you're going to face. I mean, do you think Tampa Bay was upset because Max Scherzer just, like, shut him down last night? No, you kind of expect that, don't you? It's Max Scherzer. You know, Dylan Bundy is a very good pitcher. Right, you know, Dylan Bundy's been a very good pitcher. We've just been kind of waiting for him to hit his stride. You know, obviously he needed to be a very good pitcher. The Orioles only scored one freaking run for him. So, but yeah, I was just kind of laughing that a team that's five games under 500 needs to shut it down and rebuild it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if being shut out within a 6-game losing game or losing streak twice makes a reason for that, then shouldn't the Cubs do that? Because on April 1st against Miami, they were shut out, and then they lost the next day to the Reds 1-0. I mean, shouldn't they just completely tear it down and trade away Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber? You know, I mean, the list goes on with the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we like saying, you know, yeah, you know, that'd be like saying the Astros lost three in a row and they fell out of first place. It's time to rebuild it. So.
Yeah, well, you know,
yeah,
the Cubs were shut out by Miami and Cincinnati, which are going to be the two worst teams in the National League. So, I mean, they should just throw in the towel.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started thinking about this, I was like, really? I'm like, somebody paid this guy to give this opinion. Why the hell aren't they paying us? Because obviously our opinions are better than his. This guy's a complete idiot. So, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon and say they should rebuild. Yeah, just do us a favor and shut up. But, yeah, here, you know, there were a few early games besides that Met loss there, Dan. The Padres beat the Braves 1-0. Jose Castillo got the win. Mike Foltynewicz took the loss, and Brad Hand got a save. The Indians beat the Brewers, also by a 3-1 score. Carlos Carrasco got the win. Chase Anderson took the loss, and Cody Allen got the save. And then the Nationals beat up on the Rays again. This time it was 11-2. And I think for the first time since the Rays tried this, the opener, as Brian Kenny likes to call it, really blew up in their face. Johnny Venters went out and just got annihilated. I think he gave up 5 runs without getting out of the first inning. He took the loss for the Braves. Tanner Roark got the win for the Nationals. So, you know, you can open with whoever you want, but it'd be nice if they could get some outs for you. So, but yeah, and then obviously, you know, there's a host of stuff, you know, like the, I know the Giants and the Diamondbacks are in the bottom of the ninth. That's actually a 4-4 game. If I remember, maybe we'll get the final before we leave. But Clay Buchholz and Chris Stratton started that game. We got the Dodgers at the Pirates. Caleb Ferguson makes his major league debut for the Dodgers against Trevor Williams. The Yankees are at the Blue Jays. It's Sonny Gray and Sam Gavadilio for the Blue Jays. They're getting the start. The Tigers at the Red Sox, we got Blaine Hardy and Eduardo Rodriguez. The Rockies at the Reds, John Gray and Sal Romano start there. The A's at the Rangers, it's Daniel Megden and Bartolo. The Phillies at the Cubs, Aaron Nola and Jose Quintana start there. The White Sox at the Twins, Hector Santiago and Dan's guy Jake Odorizzi making the start. The Mariners at the Astros, we got Wade LeBlanc and Lance McCullers Jr. starting there. The Marlins at the Cardinals, another one of Dan's guys, Wei Ying Chin getting the start for the Marlins against Jack Flaherty for the Cardinals. And then the night wraps up with Ian Kennedy and the Royals taking on Shohei Ohtani and the Angels tonight, Dan. So you excited for Ohtani talk because he's going to pitch against the sub 500 team and they'll be wanting to give him all the awards again tomorrow?
It's not Sunday. I'm confused.
Well, remember they skipped him because they didn't want to pitch him against the Yankees?
Oh, that's right.
Or excuse me, they wanted to give him extra rest. They wanted to give him extra rest. I'm sorry, Dan. I misspoke there. They weren't attempting to avoid the Yankees or anything like that and have him get lit up by a good hitting team. They would never do anything like that. They skipped him to give him some extra rest, and that got him off his Sunday schedule. So, you know, that's so, yeah, that's how he ended up on a Thursday. So we'll see. But yeah, you know, last night you and I talked a little bit. You know, Madison Bumgarner made his return. You know, he had a pretty good outing. You know, I think he ended up going six innings. He did give up three runs and end up taking the loss, but he threw, I thought I read 88 pitches. Let me see if I can get it to come up here real quick on the scoreboard. And of course, you know, anytime you want something with your internet, it's going to slow down. Did you get to see highlights or anything? Did you see how he looked? Because all I saw was the score and the number.
No, I forgot to look. I was listening last night, but I forgot to look.
So, see what we got here. There we go. Yeah, it was six innings with eight hits. He did give up two runs, struck out three, but didn't walk anybody. And yeah, he ended up throwing 82 pitches. More interestingly for you and I, Dan, Mark Melancon pitched an inning and struck out two guys. So maybe we'll actually get some value out of that fantasy draft pick, huh? So. But yeah, and then I see here, Dan, that Buster Posey made an error. So I think it's time they bring up that catcher they just drafted and move Posey out, don't you think?
I mean, what are they waiting for?
So, yeah, but yeah. So, yeah, apparently, you know, it seems like he looked, you know, Bumgarner looked pretty good, you know, for that first time out. You know, does adding him back in with the Giants, do you think this gives them the momentum they need to kind of, you know, maybe start their own role, kind of get going and get back in that division race, make it a four-team race? Oh, no. Did I lose Dan or did he? Is it time for Dan to go away? No, it's too early for Dan to go away, right? Well, maybe he had to run early this time. Oh, there you are.
Thank you. No, I accidentally muted myself, so I was talking to nobody.
I was wondering.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think it definitely gives them the boost. And then not only that, I mean, now you have a batting order 1-9. That you have to worry about, you know, when you get to the eighth batter. You know, I mean, honestly, when you get to the eighth batter, there's no, well, let's walk this guy and so we can get to the pitcher. Because you can walk that guy, and all of a sudden, you've just given up, you know, two runs.
Yeah, it gives you that, and then it gives you that extra hitter on the bench.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it definitely gives them a boost, and you know, maybe even a little bit of a morale boost too. Kind of got your team back together. You got the anchor for your pitching rotation, because I mean, let's be honest, you know, Buster's the man there. But I think those two guys, Buster and Madbomb, without them, you know, it's really hard to picture this Giants team for this decade.
You know, it's definitely a it would look different without either of those two guys in a Giant uniform. But yeah, definitely will be it'll be interesting to see. You know, hopefully he can stay healthy, you know, and they can get, you know, 20-25 starts out of him this season. But yeah, you know, like I said, it looked like he's off to a pretty good start. I mean, that's a pretty good first start back against you know, a good offensive Arizona team. You know, I mean, it's not like he was pitching against, you know, the Marlins or somebody like that. So, you know, that's a good start, I think.
I'm sure Bochy's happy to have him back.
You would think, right? I mean, it's just kind of like he's got to be just relieved. Now if they could just get, you know, Johnny Cueto healthy, it could be a it could be an interesting, you know, kind of setup or, you know, division, I guess, if they could just, the damn guy's healthy.
Well, they're ahead of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Three by a game. So, but, I mean, you know, in reality, or to the minds of national broadcasters and that cover the game, nobody ever takes Arizona or Colorado serious. So I'm sure they've already pegged the Giants or the Dodgers to take over the division. But, I still think the Giants have a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're definitely not out of it, you know. I mean, as much as, you know, as much as they like to write teams off, you know, they didn't write off, I don't think it was the Dodgers or the Nationals, or the Dodgers or the Giants. I'm not sure how many people took the Giants seriously to start the year. I think everybody kind of looked at the Dodgers. But,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I don't think you can kind of – you can't overlook this team, can you? With Bumgarner back, and, I mean, you know, it sucks that Brandon Belt went out. I mean, that was kind of a blow. But if they get healthy
– Well, not only that, I mean, if you – the bats pick up, especially from McCutcheon and Longoria, I think were your two biggest free agent or acquisition in the offseason – I think it's, you know, going to spell great for them. And with Melanson coming back, you know, hopefully he performs at the level he's supposed to. You know, you're going to have that guy you can rely on in the bullpen to close out the game. That would work great for you and I. And then, you know, like I said, with the bats, if they can keep it up, especially on a Jeff Samardzija start, you know, you're really going to turn it around.
And now, I got an interesting kind of question for you, because it kind of fits into some of your conspiracy stuff here. Do you think maybe there was a little bias against the Giants coming into this season by the media because they didn't go about rebuilding in the way you're quote unquote supposed to? You know, instead of going out and dealing for prospects, they went out and got veterans like McCutcheon and Longoria. Do you think maybe they held that against them a little because of, you know, and maybe downgraded them because they didn't like the way they handled the offseason?
I think that could, you know, I never even thought of that, but I think that can definitely play into it, especially since, you know, like you mentioned, dealing prospects, which is a big no-no in today's game. You know, they seemingly dealt what I think both you and I thought was going to be kind of a big hot prospect down in Tampa who, I forget who the other guys were, but sadly, Christian Arroyo was sent down to the farm. I mean, I thought he was guaranteed pegged to have that starting job at third base.
Yeah, well, I know the Rays just called him up, but I don't think he's done much there. But, they kind of did it, you know, backwards.
Called him up or not, he should have been on that starting roster from day one.
Yeah, it sure looked like, you know, he was kind of destined to be an everyday player. I mean, I don't want to say star because, you know, you just never know. But, I thought for sure he was going to be an everyday guy there. But, yeah, he didn't make the team out of spring training. And, you know, I guess you always wonder, you know, when a team gives up on a prospect, maybe they know something?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that they really gave up on a prospect, because what they gave up, they got, you know.
Yeah.
In return, you know, they got Evan Longoria. They got Brandon Crawford. Wait, which Brandon plays short? Is that Belt or Crawford? I think it's Crawford, right?
Crawford.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so you've got your shortstop already who's going to be there a while. You know, with Longoria, I forget how much longer he has, but that's obviously going to be your third baseman. I don't think it was so much as they gave up on Christian Arroyo. I think they were you know, you have to balance both sides of the equation. And like I said, I don't remember who else went down to Tampa in that deal, but you know, I mean, I think that was what made the deal happen, make, look a little better for Tampa in the sense that, you know, they're taking on Arroyo, who should have time and should turn out, you know, like you said, maybe not to be a star, but a solid player for them, which, you know, Matt Duffy seems to not really be turning into that down there after he came to Tampa from San Francisco.
But he seems to be doing a little better this year now that he's healthy. You know, remember last year he had all those goofy, like, nagging injuries. It wasn't one thing. It just seemed to be, like, one thing after another with him. You know, and I got to tell you, though, Dan, I am truly disappointed in you that you did not remember that that Denard Span was part of the Evan Longoria deal.
Oh, yeah, I guess he could be, or he should be.
Technically, it ended up being three minor leaguers. It was Christian Arroyo, Steven Woods, and Matt Crook, along with Denard Span, that went to Tampa Bay for Evan Longoria. And I was just very sad that you forgot about now Seattle Mariner great Denard Span, as the Rays have moved him along to the Mariners. So just kind of sad there. And how, you know, I don't even know. I know, like I said, I know Arroyo got called up, but I don't even know how much he's played. What are his numbers here? Well, he is hitting .303 in 12 games. So I don't know if he's playing every day or what's going on down there. That might have to be something we'll have to look into. But all right, I can gladly tell you that yesterday when I gave you my FanDuel lineups, I had two freebies. Remember? My Max Scherzer lineup actually cashed. I won a whopping 25 cents. But since it didn't cost me anything to get into the league, I'm happy with that, and I will gladly take that. My stacking lineup, yeah, you know, I just, for whatever reason, I don't stack well. You know, I thought I was in the right game with the Reds and the Rockies, and they did combine to score 15 runs. I only scored 125 points, and I missed cashing by, like, I think it was 13 or 15 points. So, yeah, I guess I just didn't have the right guys. But we're going to, as always, we're going to load it up and try it again. And tonight I'm pulling out the big guns. And right away, right on the mound, I'm going with the stud of the night here. I got Shohei Ohtani as my pitcher. Going to cost me $8,600, but, you know, he's a stud. Everybody knows he's a stud, and he is going to lead my team to victory tonight. Catcher first base, I'm going with Gary Sanchez of the Yankees. Cost me $3,500. He's hitting fifth for them. The second base, I got Brian Dozier leading off for the Twins. He's going to cost me $4,100. My third baseman is Matt Chapman of the A's. He's hitting sixth for them. Cost me $2,900. Tim Anderson is my shortstop. I noticed his price tag is much higher than what it was the past few times I've used him. He's up to $3,500. He's hitting sixth for the White Sox tonight. My outfield starts with Aaron Judge, who cost me $4,800. He's hitting second for the Yankees. Then I'm actually going back to that Reds-Rockies game tonight. I got Carlos Gonzalez again. He had a big night for me in the lineup I had him in. He was actually in that Max Scherzer lineup. I should have had him in my stack lineup. It would have made it much better. He's in cleanup for the Rockies, cost me $2,700. And then my outfield rounds out with Curtis Granderson of the Blue Jays. As you know, he's returning to New York to face his former team, the Mets. Leading off for the Jays tonight cost me $2,600. And then my utility guy is Robinson Chirinos of the Rangers, hitting seventh there. He only cost me $2,300. So my recap, I got Shohei Ohtani pitching, Gary Sanchez in the catcher first base slot, Brian Dozier at second, Matt Chapman at third, Tim Anderson at short. My outfield is Aaron Judge, Carlos Gonzalez, and Curtis Granderson, and my utility guy is Robinson Chirinos. Now, I did do the Home Run Derby as well. You know, I'm not going to miss out on Home Run Derby. Bryce Harper, of course, the Nationals played earlier, so he was ineligible to pick today. I went with Mike Trout as always, and like I've been doing all week, I'm pairing them up with first baseman this week. So tonight's pairing, I have Mike Trout going with Carlos Santana of the Phillies and Yuri Gurriel of the Astros. Trout's hitting third for the Angels, Santana's hitting fourth for the Phillies, and Gurriel is hitting fifth for the Astros. So that's my freebie home run deal. In case you didn't know, I hit zero last night. Trout and Harper did not homer. They only homer when they are not in my lineup or they're ineligible for me to use. I'm quite surprised that Harper did not homer today because I could not get him in my lineup. So we'll have to see how it goes tonight. But yeah, that's what I'm going with. I believe technically the leagues have officially started. I think they started at 6:05 my time. But they are late swap leagues, so if you want to go in, there's no issue with you being able to go in and, you know, make that change or that swap or whatever you want to do. If you are a FanDuel guy, they also do have the free roll for the NBA tonight. I don't think I've ever won on any of these or even been close, but maybe you'll be better than me and you can get a big free roll in there tonight. So there are definitely some options for you if you're interested in in jumping on and finding some stuff there for you. But you know, hopefully it works out and you win some big money, which I did do that once. I shouldn't say I don't ever do, but I did manage to pull it off one time. So how does that work out? Yes. But yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember, is the hockey game tonight or did they get an extra day off? I guess it would be relatively smart of me to pull up the schedule and check it out, because it would be really nice if the Capitals could close it out tonight. But let me see here. I told you, anytime you want the internet to move, it just doesn't go anywhere for you. So no, it looks like I'm going to have to wait one more day to clinch my T-shirt from Dan. Boy, they really stretched out the schedule. You know, they had two games off between these games. If they do go to a game six, they've got two more days off. So they're turning into the NBA here all of a sudden with that. But yeah, there is they do have the game tonight. It is on ABC if you happen to be looking for the game. They moved to Cleveland for the series. Of course, Golden State is up 2-0. I fully expect Cleveland to win tonight. I believe the foul differential will be very, very much in Cleveland's favor tonight. I think we're going to get a lot of whistles on Golden State, and that's kind of how they're going to help the Cavaliers get a game. Because, I mean, let's face it, the Golden State is the better team here. I don't think I'm fooling anybody or anything like that, that they're the more talented team. So we'll see how that works out. Sorry, I didn't know you went away.
Yeah, it did happen. They get a travel day, a practice day, and then the game. So that's why the 2 days.
Yeah. So whatever they want to call it, normally the NHL doesn't do that. So that's a little bit of a surprise that they went that route, but
yeah,
I'm used to it. Basketball.
Go up against the NBA tonight, so they're not going to go up against them.
It makes sense. I mean, I understand why they did it. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. It just wasn't, like I said, it wasn't what I was expecting out of the NHL. Cause I'm used to that. They're so kind of hit on that every other day format, but yeah, I don't have a problem with them doing it because they only do it occasionally. It's not like NBA where every series has multiple extra days off added in.
I was gonna say they only seem to do it for the Stanley Cup, which you kind of want it on a somewhat of a level playing field, I guess. But it is nice to give them, that day to travel, kind of take it easy, go practice. One of the things I thought was really cool, and I didn't know this until the other day, before the other game was that fans are allowed to go to the practice.
Cool.
So, you know, when Kuznetsov jumped on the ice, they said there was just a big, you know, roar of excitement out there in Washington. You know, all the fans were happy to see him out there. But, you know, sadly, yes, I think I'm, you know, going to be buying you that shirt and one for myself. So I'll send it to work.
That's one.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it sucks that I'll lose, but and that'll be 2 years in a row for you. I hate you. I should have never went with the damn Predators. I knew I should have went to the back-to-back Penguins.
So,
you know, it's been an awesome series, and you know, I kind of hope that it goes an extra game, but I don't know. We'll see, right?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, going home, I think, helps Las Vegas. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them win tomorrow night and, you know, force it to a six. Obviously, you know, I would prefer if, you know, the Capitals just closed it out and didn't provide me any angst. But, you know, they're not really that team. They almost seem to like to kind of do these things. You know, I don't know how it ends up with them, but you know, I mean, it'll be nice to see, you know, Ovechkin get his first cup. I think that's a big deal. You know, it definitely, you know, he's a Hall of Famer without one, but you add that on to a guy who's got a Hall of Fame resume like that. And it just, you know, I mean, I think it makes him even greater than what he is right now. Cause you know, you add Stanley Cup champion to the front of your, you know, your name.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's funny because, before the other night's game, that was the intro to the kind of to the show. Was a nice intro of, you know, showing players like Dan Marino, and I forgot the rest of the guys, because obviously Dan Marino stands out. But, you know, they showed Hall of Fame quality type players who just didn't have that champion. But, you know, tomorrow night, the only reason I wish they didn't have that extra off day and the game was tonight. Was obviously because I'm in a class tomorrow evening, so I'm going to try to get there as early as I can, as long as the damn train doesn't run late again, so that I can sit in the back of the classroom, and you know exactly where I'm going with this, Big Jack. I'm going to try to stream the game on my my tablet, my iPad, but I got to do it secretly, because the teacher's a little, and I don't want any snitches, you know, telling on me.
Well, you know, snitches get stitches, so,
yeah.
You know. But, yeah, you know, I mean, some of the guys you look at, I mean, I think you and I probably don't even think about this much, but, you know, as weird as it is, you know, like Clayton Kershaw's never won a World Series. Now, he's a guy who's on track to make the Hall of Fame, but there's, you know, there's no World Series title for him. You know, another baseball guy definitely on track to make the Hall of Fame, you know, Adrian Beltre. No, you know, there's no World Series ring for him either. You know, my guy Ichiro never got one.
Yeah, well, should be a first ballot when he decides to stop playing, actually. But he won't go on that roster until he's 60.
Well, you know, and then in football, you know, a guy that I know you always used to like to watch play, Adrian Peterson. You know, there's no Super Bowl ring for him. You know, a couple of NBA guys, you know, like Russell Westbrook looks like a guy who obviously has the talent to win one, but will he ever have the players around him to do it? You know, and then Vince Carter, you know, Carter's been playing for a long time now, and he's bounced from team to team towards the end of his career here, but never managed to win a title.
Is he still playing? I didn't even realize.
Yeah, he played. I don't remember where he ended up playing last year, but he, you know, he played for somebody. Let me Bing him really quick here. For some reason, I wanted to say Sacramento, And I don't know if that is correct, but let me hunt down his no, it looks like it was Sacramento last year. Oh. That's like NBA purgatory, isn't it? Yeah, he played 58 games for Sacramento last year. His first season there. You know, he spent 7 in Toronto, 5 in New Jersey, 3 in Dallas, 3 in Memphis, 2 in Orlando, a year with Phoenix, and then last year with Sacramento. So he's 41.
Three more teams and he completes the season. No, the league.
Yeah, he's 41. He'll be 42 in January. So we'll have to see.
I got to throw a couple things at you, which I think could kind of make you laugh. When he does retire or just simply is no longer in the NBA, does he go to the Big Three? And I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, we tweeted it out yesterday, I think it was. Did you happen to catch the Ice Cube spot for the Big Three? He did a little Friday, esque thing. And I thought it was funny, but the only thing that stood out to me so much, though, Big Jack, and I can't believe, you know, the first Friday movie was roughly 20 years ago, was, damn, everybody looked old. Ice Cube looked old. His dad in that movie looked old. And even the comedian looked pretty old. See, it's Mike Epps.
Yeah, well, Mike Epps is in the second one. I think Chris Tucker was in the first one. I did catch that. I got quite a kick out of it. And then you tweeted it. And I was like, oh, boy, Dan saw it too. So.
Well, you know, since we are on their list, we do get the email. So I got the email. I checked it out. And if you're interested, I mean, you know, they're doing something different this year. I don't know if it's different. They're going to Friday night, which I think is better than Monday night. Because honestly, I think Monday night, you kind of forget about it. You know, it's Monday. You're like, especially in the summer, you're like, Monday. But there's nothing on Monday. Friday night, I think, will be a good night for it. And supposedly, it's supposed to be live, where last year it was taped. You know, you got the rebroadcast the next day. So I don't know how it's going to work if we get our press passes this year. They told me I have to apply closer to the date. But that'll be interesting.
Yeah,
it's on Fox and FS1. Yeah, we were shut down last year. It's going to be on Fox and FS1. So they're getting a little bit more pub this year.
Yeah, you know, it seems like there's been a little more buzz about it this year than there was last year. I honestly think they did a lot better than people expected them to last year.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you know, that kind of helped out.
Do you think people thought it was going to be super gimmicky, almost like the origination of the XFL or taking you back to –
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was Spike TV or whatever, you know, channel Monday Night Raw was on, but if you remember Slam Ball, where they were jumping around on trampolines, which was actually a really cool concept, it just never took off. Do you think that kind of helped that they weren't, they were more, it was competitive, I think, is what I'm getting at. It wasn't such a gimmicky thing. They actually, you know, were competitive. Nothing was faked out there as far as we know. And it seemed like, you know, these guys could still play and they really wanted to play. And then you got the 4-point shot.
Yeah, I definitely think that helped it, that it was legitimate basketball, I guess, is the way I would address it. You know, I mean, they went out there and actually played the game. And like you said, they wanted to win. You know, it wasn't just, well, it's old man just going out there having a good time or whatever, or, you know, cashing a check or whatever. These guys wanted to win. So.
And I mean, I honestly believe from the couple that I watched, I don't, whatever they're getting paid, I don't believe you even had to pay them. I think the pay was kind of the bonus to actually going out there and doing it. But, you know, I did bring up gimmicks and I threw out the XFL out there, and I don't know if you've seen the news, and I don't know if this makes a difference to you. I know I forgot his title, but he was a former head of the NFL Europe. He general managed two teams in that league, and then he was in the NCAA, and that's Andrew Luck's father, Oliver Luck. So he's coming on board as to be like a higher official into the XFL. Do you think this is going in the right direction for Vince McMahon and company?
You know, I believe they actually gave him the title of commissioner.
Yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, I believe he's actually commissioner of the XFL. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's looked at as a good football guy. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's definitely, his name is definitely associated with football. So, you know, I mean, it's a leg up from, you know, I don't know, were they going to resurrect, you know, like Jack Tunney when he was the figurehead WWE president? I mean, you know, at least it's not Vince McMahon, because that's always a frightening thing. You know, and B, they went out and got a legitimate football guy. So, I don't think you can fault them for the choice. Now we just got to see if the damn league ever actually gets up and running.
Yeah, I believe it will. Now, you know, I know we're getting short on time, but with that other league kind of thrown at us almost right after Vince McMahon announced his, and they are seemingly starting, you know, obviously, was it next February? I know it's coming up a lot quicker than next February, right after the Super Bowl. I know you probably didn't look into it a whole lot. Vince McMahon went the right route this time and actually kind of taking his time and not just throwing it at us. And kind of like, I feel like this league is just came out of nowhere and they're like, you're just going to throw it at us and kind of hope it sticks like the XFL originally did.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if maybe this was kind of a thing where these two guys talked about working together and couldn't come to an agreement. So they both mm-hmm. went their separate ways and started their own leagues. You know, because this man worked, and I'm drawing a blank, with the guy who started the AAF, you know, I believe McMahon worked with his father on the original XFL. So there was some groundwork there for them to work together, but now all of a sudden we got two leagues. You know how these are with football. I mean, it'll probably draw right away like the XFL did. But then continuing that rating is where the difficulty is going to come in, because, you know, if it's not good football, or if there's not something to draw some interest to you, you know, are people going to stay with it? You're not going to be competition for the NFL. You know, because, I mean, I'll check it out at first to see what it's like. But, you know, again, sticking with it is always the issue. Will they make it interesting enough for me to come back?
Yeah. Well, these are only supposed to be like an 8 or 10 week league, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that they're almost basically done.
You know, of course, I mean, I do want to be able to quickly sign points off. You know, that's going to be the last thing to do. So. Oh, but all right, well, the music is going to get longer here. Now, during the Thursdays off that he's going to school, the Chicago crew is going to fill in tomorrow, which will be about 30 minutes earlier. 5 o'clock will be on board, so meet us here then. And while we're gone, though, get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is off sportstimeradio. You can find Dan on Twitter as well if you'd like to look at that. And always, hey, thanks for coming on and listening live. It's cool when you jump on and do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you to go listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sportstime Radio.